Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Hey, greetings and hello, everybody, on a Monday. Hope all you moms out there had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. We are back at it here today. I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. We've got Chris on the other side of the glass, the ones and twos. He's already donning not one but two jackets in this frigid studio on what is otherwise a 92-degree day outside.
Beautiful.
Those are the conditions we
inside
must work under.
Inside and out. You guys could never live in Winterfell.
Nor would we want to.
What's left of it?
239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the phone number. You can follow me at Twitter at CraigESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. You can follow the station at 99.3ESPN. Yes, at some point we shall discuss. Apparently everybody's dead on Game of Thrones.
Including Aaron Rodgers.
24
no,
hours.
No,
24
no,
hours.
Nope.
No.
No. Bad boy. Bad boy.
Wait a minute. If I had this paper,
I'd whack
Chris,
your nose.
Was that your voice you use on the three-year-old or the dog?
Yes.
I couldn't tell.
No, we don't do that here. No,
we don't do that here. Fine. We give everybody 24 hours to watch Game of Thrones, Craig.
Like Bill Cosby used to say. He used to go, no, to the three. No. Stop it.
All right. Well, along those lines, I did finally get my rear end into a theater and saw Avengers 3 weeks later. So we're caught up there. Thank you very much.
Good for you.
I have some questions.
Oh, I have some questions for you, too. But I got to say, first, listening over the weekend, I'm listening to Captain Rob and Real Talk. What are they talking about? Game of Thrones. I'm out doing errands that day. By the way, I'll get into my awesome fitting at Lumpy's and Zach, who was just amazing with me on Saturday. And then yesterday, driving to brunch with my wife in the morning for Mother's Day,
yes,
listening to Play Golf Southwest Florida,
yes,
with Jeff and Andy. What are they talking about? Game of Thrones. Text line lighting up. Rick is... they're too funny.
It's all good. In addition to that, we had a couple of Game 7s yesterday.
They were pretty good.
The second one was, no doubt about it. We'll get all caught up on that, everything going on. Let's get it started off appropriately, boys. On a Monday, it is time for a Sports Center rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, after a pair of Game 7s yesterday, the conference championships are all set in the NBA playoffs. In the East, the top-seeded Bucks face the second-seeded Raptors. That starts tomorrow night. No, it doesn't. The top-seeded Warriors will face the 3-seed Portland Trailblazers series. Yes, it does, because that one starts Wednesday. KD already ruled out of Game 1 with a calf strain. The next coach of the Cavaliers will be John Beilein. He informed University of Michigan officials of his decision to leave Ann Arbor this morning, and the Blades trail 0-2 in the Kelly Cup Eastern Conference Finals.
All right, married 1 year. It was not an early spoiler. When I said what's left of Winterfell, that was tongue-in-cheek.
It was three weeks ago.
And well, when I came out and said everybody's dead, I was not specific.
There's no spoiler.
And I didn't even see it, so you don't take what I say.
In this week's episode, Winterfell wasn't even shown, okay? So that's the only thing I'll tell you.
Right.
So I'll just go. So don't even worry about it.
You're good.
And just
you're
to
good.
Clarify, because it may have been confusing. So Tuesday is the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
Wednesday is the Eastern Conference Finals. Game one. Correct?
Yes.
Are we
all? No. Eastern Conference is tomorrow.
Wednesday. No.
No.
Western Conference is tomorrow.
Western is Tuesday.
I know it is. And Milwaukee, Toronto is Wednesday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are we
good?
What I said in the Sports Center
was confusing.
Flip it.
And what people really care about is the Boston Bruins with a commanding 2-0 lead over the hapless Carolina Hurricanes.
Nobody cares.
Everybody cares.
Nobody cares.
Everybody.
Pete.
They care more
Nobody
about. They will.
Nobody cares.
People in Southwest Florida will watch more of that than they will Milwaukee, Toronto.
Gosh.
That is a fact.
Yeah, but we won't talk more about it than Milwaukee, Toronto.
I think it's going to be
Speaking
bad.
Speaking of hockey, the Everblades are in a little bit of trouble.
They are down two games to none.
That's not good.
Game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight, San Jose and St. Louis.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, back to me. I had a wonderful weekend. Mother's Day yesterday was great with my wife and my mom and all that. But Saturday I spent all day in the Gulf of Mexico.
You were like Aquaman.
Like, literally in the Gulf of Mexico. It was as perfect as I've ever seen it. Just blue, clear, warm, fun day.
Nice. You have a little drink with an umbrella in it while you were floating out to sea?
I did not have my own cabana, boy, although I did bring my own BYOB.
Why not?
Well, I think technically you're not supposed to.
I don't think it's legal.
Yeah. Depends where you are.
If you're in the water, you're fine.
If you show,
if it's on the beach,
as long
it
as
is
it's,
not fine.
As
right?
long as it's in a cup and not a bottle or a can.
Nope.
There's a sign that says no alcohol.
You cannot have an open container of any sort on the sand. Here, in the water?
Chris is right.
Yes.
That's no longer beach control's problem. That's Coast Guard, they're fine with it.
Here's what I was told not only once, twice, but thrice by several of Fort Myers Beach's finest, is that it's kind of an unwritten rule. As long as it's in a koozie or the glass or can is not visible, you're okay.
Right,
just don't make it. Obvious.
The written rule on the wooden signs as you enter the beach. Rule number 3: no alcohol permitted.
If you're
here.
A gentleman and lady and classy about it, they're not going to bother you. If you do something stupid, then you get what's coming to you. So if you just,
I wasn't screaming, flailing around with it. Hey, look at me, everybody!
I'm not saying. But
then I went home, got showered up, and then boom, went to go see Avengers. So finally, by the way, I went to the Mercado Theater for the first time.
Yeah. Silver Spot.
Whew.
Mm-hmm.
Swanky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, Collier.
It's not. Well, yeah, I mean, though this is the closest theater to me, I've actually not gone to a movie there yet. So I will now.
Yeah.
That's my new hangout.
Yeah,
man.
It's
like
solid.
A 5-star right there.
It is solid.
Got your own leather Lazy Boys and everything. Good to go. Nice bar up front.
Yep.
It's all good.
It's great. That's most of the really higher-end theaters are now. Bar up front. Some even have servers come. If you hit a button, they will come to your.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. So first question.
Yes.
Did you tear up?
Okay, first
Don't
of all.
Don't lie to me.
Here's the fact,
I can
Jack.
Tell.
Cried.
I did not cry. And in fact, I full force wanted to come in here, and I don't know if I could be friends with you two anymore. The fact that you did cry, I'm embarrassed for you.
Have no soul.
My wife said exactly what Chris's wife said and basically looked at me and go, wait a minute. Chris and Pete cried at this movie? I'm like, yeah, aren't they a bunch of weenies? I did not cry. Look, it was sad. I get it. It was sad, but I did not tear up. And I'm not above tearing up in a movie. I'm not that guy, but I did nothing. I mean, I just was sad. No tears came out of my head. Okay.
Oh man.
You two said you were bawling or something.
No, I said there were people bawling.
Twice.
I wasn't bawling. I was. Just didn't want to be seen.
But you don't have the passion for these movies like we do.
Well, maybe you have.
There's
too
nothing
much.
Wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're right. It is. I get too caught up in it. But I'd say that about everything I see.
I will say this, if I may be movie critic.
You may be so bold.
In a positive way.
So it's like the John Lovitz movie critic?
Well, I have a good thing to say. I just, after watching these, four Avenger movies now?
Well, the main four, I get you.
Yeah, the main four. And this may be overly simplistic. Josh Brolin in Thanos is one of the most commanding and awesome performer. I mean, I don't think he's going to get credit because of the massiveness of the movie the effects. His performance as Thanos is incredible.
Yeah.
There are some scenes in there. I mean, this is a genocidal maniac. There are some scenes where you kind of want to start to like him or feel for him. Yeah. And then all of a sudden he goes back to being crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing performance. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's going to get enough credit for it.
There's actually in the comic book series somebody even more powerful than him.
What?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if that's ever going to come to fruition. Now, having watched Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Friday, actually watched it Saturday morning early, there's always a backstory. I thought it's taking place in outer space. I thought it would tie into the movie a little bit. It hasn't yet, although Agent Coulson was back.
All right.
Clark Gregg.
Let me continue with my questions,
okay,
if I may.
So, your questions.
again, you two with your hyperbole, everybody's back. This is like five movies in one, right? It's a 3-hour shindig. Everybody's there. Everybody's coming back.
A lot of foreshadowing, a lot of time travel.
Where was your boy Vision? They didn't even find him worthy to bring back at all in this movie. They stole his yellow stone in the last movie, and that's it. Done. Character out of here. Worthless.
Disappointing. I don't know if it was a contract dispute. I thought for sure he was coming back because everybody else said he's the only one that didn't.
There was no point for
him
to come
back. No, I know.
But Gamora didn't come back.
That's right. But the Infinity Stone from his head caused him, when they took it from him, caused him to die.
Well, she kind of came back. Right?
I mean, she didn't come back. She went forward.
Right. So she's still around.
Yeah, but it's a different type of Gamora.
I know.
It's a harder, colder, less.
It is. I mean, they're going to have to work harder to rebuild that relationship. I get, but
that's a long relationship it took for her to build up with Quill.
We can have three more Guardians of the Galaxy to figure that out. I'm cool with that. I love those movies. All right.
So as Black Widow was falling to her death, sacrificing herself, that didn't get to you?
No. First worthy thing she's done in the movies I've seen, because all she does is wear leather pants and ride motorcycles.
Please.
At least she gave up herself for a better cause.
You have no passion.
I have another question.
You don't get the movie.
You don't get the show. I had another question. At the end. Again, turn down your radio if you haven't heard it.
Not too bad. It's a month, 3 weeks now.
Who's the black dude that Captain America gave a shield to? I was a little confused.
Are you kidding me? Falcon?
Well, he's been there for the last... I never really picked up on who he is. I thought he was like Black Panther's sidekick or something.
No!
Oh, making white guy mistake here.
No.
I have no idea who he is.
No.
Who is he?
No. He was in... He was in Age of Ultron. Well, no, he wasn't in Age of Ultron. Yes, he was.
He was in Age of Ultron.
No,
he was in Captain America Civil War. He was in Captain America First...
And he was in a...
What's his superpower?
He was in a bunch of episodes in Marvel Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV show leading up to those movies in season 4 and 5, I believe. He's in a bunch of episodes.
All right.
Or season 3.
I thought he was Black Panther dude, but I didn't want to say it.
Jeez Louise. In fact, he was basically the big security guy for the new S.H.I.E.L.D. in upstate New York, the new headquarters there.
That's right. He was in Ant-Man as well, if you saw that
movie. Yes, he was.
I did not.
Yeah, well.
And I thought you two said there was some little tease in the credits. There was nothing in the credits.
No, I said somebody had told me.
I waited for an extra 7 minutes.
That's what we said.
I thought you said somebody told me there was an audio clip at the very end, not a video.
They were wrong.
Yeah.
I stayed for the whole thing.
Okay, well, that's good.
Last person in the theater.
I didn't stay either.
My wife's going, come on, Craig, let's go. I'm like, no, I think there's something. There wasn't.
I thought he was Black Panther's sidekick.
Oh, my God. Good God.
I was confused.
How about when Captain America got a hold of Thor's hammer? Because he was
pretty cool.
He was worthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Oh, Thor and the beer belly? Loved it.
Hilarious,
loved
right?
It.
Hilarious.
Loved it.
Nice little curveball that the Russo brothers decided to throw in there, huh?
Not bad. Not bad. All right. So
Iron Man at the end, his daughter, the scene. I mean.
Can you grade it?
Ooh.
I gave it a 90 out of 100.
I think that's about right.
It was really good. Maybe just a skosh below that. I mean,
like a B+, not an A-.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that. Yeah. There was one other question.
If I had to rate the four movies, the four main ones, which is Avengers, Age of Ultron, Infinity Wars, and
the original.
Age of Ultron, Infinity Wars, and Endgame. Those four. I might have Endgame as third out of those four.
Is Age of Ultron number one?
It's close.
It is.
It's close.
It's just despite Craig.
No, it's close.
Vision over there.
Vision. It's close, but I really do.
I had to watch Vision all over again because my wife got caught up to speed on the last one. She said, who's this red dude? I said, don't worry about him. Loser.
I tell you, I did not like the way they portrayed Hulk, Professor Hulk. I hated that. Mark Ruffalo.
What, the kind of in between?
Yeah, no, it wasn't in between.
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I didn't like it.
I enjoyed it very much.
Taking a picture with the kids.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I wanted the metamorphosis. I thought it was too simplistic because he was still learning how to control his anger. And I thought the way they did it in the first Avengers was just perfect. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm always, he goes, you know what my secret is? I'm always angry. And then he, you know, I thought that was fine.
Okay, so why were he and Black Widow not googly-eyed in this movie?
Because
they were pretty close to getting together in the previous one.
Yeah, I think just because of the storyline, and it was more serious, and it was kind of like, we have no time for...
Wait, who?
Hulk and Black Widow didn't...
Because he's Hulk now.
Yeah, and he's
well,
like,
I know.
Physically, that...
Yeah.
That can't happen. There's no way. No, don't shrug your shoulders. It couldn't happen.
There was no effects until she died, and then he got mad, and he showed emotion there.
Married when he is, says, what? I love Professor. I just didn't like it. I thought it was too X-Men-ish with Beast, who I expect to be that way. Yeah. I think the character lost a little bit of its flavor by not showing the transformation. At some point in the movie.
I heard a little fun fact. Maybe one of my kids told me. Maybe you guys could back this up. So the little line where he told his daughter, or his daughter said, I love you 3,000 times.
Yeah, instead of a ton.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Apparently that was a little play in when this hour went 3 hours and 1 minute. If you take all the Marvel movies,
mm-hmm. it's 3,000
minutes of airtime.
Hmm.
It's a little
fun. I don't know.
But I think the side story definitely is, and Greenpeace brings it up. Nerd alert, if Thor goes back to 2012 and takes his hammer, now 2012 on Thor, Avengers, Ultron, Infinity Wars, Dark World, Ragnarok doesn't have the hammer. Right?
No, he does. He brought it back.
Yeah, but also Loki brought back the Tesseract, which is going to be, that's going to be part of some sort of side story if they ever want to, because you never saw Loki again. He took the Tesseract back to Asgard. Hmm.
How come Samuel L. Jackson, except for the one scene at the little funeral, that was it?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, he's busy.
That's right. Snap your fingers.
He's busy.
All right, so we're all caught up here. Sorry it took me 3 weeks. I know you guys were there the first minute.
I like Captain Marvel with the longer hair. She had her hair short at the last fight scenes at the
Don't
end.
Get me started on her.
No, because this is what my wife asked on the way home.
It's ridiculous.
She's like, if she's like this superpower woman who's like better than everybody else, where was she for the previous 2.5 hours?
Where have you been? Have you been?
Yeah.
She has other universes to attend
to. Well, we could have saved ourselves a lot of damage.
Okay, look. Ultron, that was one city in a small country in Europe. Okay, let them perish. Fine. You really want to... power rank your planets, if you will.
Yeah.
But what about the first Avengers, where it was game, set, match there until Iron Man took the bomb up into space and closed the hole.
Yeah.
It was done.
Yeah.
We were done.
Yeah.
Half of the Earth was going to be gone, demolished, mm-hmm. boom, snapped. And where were you, Captain Marvel?
More important things.
Where were you?
Yeah.
I agree with you,
Chris.
More of the universe.
It seems just like arbitrary, and all of a sudden, all right, let's just stick
selfish
her in there.
Is what it was.
Yeah,
selfish.
What was she doing? You know, getting her nails done. I mean, where was she?
Maybe.
Seriously, needs to be saving the universe.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm with your wife on that.
So Married 1 Year says what really hurt me was that Doctor Strange knew Iron Man was about going to die, and he lied to him about it. Did he?
Well, he had to lie to him about it. He said, I can't tell you or else you won't do it.
It's only one in a billion chance, or one in 10 billion, 15 billion chance that they were, whatever. But how did you react when you saw Black Panther come through? Falcon was first in Black Panther. When they all reemerged and Spider-Man came flying through and everybody clap?
I don't think everybody clapped. There was not a lot of people there. I like the Black Panther character, so I always like when he's on screen.
But they all came through together.
King T'Challa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they kind of all came through together.
Or maybe he was new Captain America guy.
Falcon was there first, and then Black Panther.
I got to tell you, the Spider-Man kid just was a weak link. Didn't do much for me in the
whole
movie.
He's got another one.
Yeah.
What? Oh, really? See, he was the one that got me to tear up when talking to Tony Stark.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did it. You did it, Mr. Stark. You did it.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me of Chris. He's much younger than like me and Pete, who have been through more battles.
But you know that he's the future of the organization?
Is that how we're going to? Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Yep.
Exactly. Well put.
When Iron Man and Captain America, you two go right off. Yeah. Who's left, baby? Spider-Man. That's who.
Great analogy.
Married One Year. So Tony said, this is the one where we all come back, right? And he told him, yeah. Well, you had to do that. Funny. You can't tell somebody.
You're going to die.
Otherwise, you change the future.
Yeah.
Well, they did that anyway. Multiple levels.
Now we can rest. All right. Glad we're all caught up with that. So we are on a any more questions for me? I'm good. I think I'm up to speed.
People, and there's no spoiler for Game of Thrones. I just can't believe how some people are outraged by what happened last night. And you know what the problem is with Game of Thrones? We need four more episodes. No, I'm just saying. It needs four more episodes.
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
All right. But
talk about it tomorrow.
The reason is it needs four more episodes.
How many episodes have we had? Six?
We got one more left.
So we're...
Then it's done.
It seems to me like three of the six have been underwhelming and disappointing for many, many reasons between you and everybody else. So
you know what?
This year.
Yeah. Nope. No. We're not doing this.
Nope.
We're not doing this today,
guys. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers today?
No!
He was in it!
Stop it!
That's really not a big deal.
No, stop.
Well, he's already tweeted. Everybody's tweeted it out. I tweeted it out.
Stop it!
All right, fine. Tomorrow.
I didn't realize it was him until I got
here. I didn't realize it was him until you told me about it.
I realized it was him immediately because it looked like that concussion he got against the Detroit Lions in week 17 last week.
Which one?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Glad we got that out of the way. Still plenty of two game sevens from yesterday to talk about. I guess Kawhi was clutch after all. We'll discuss that when we come back.
Clutch Kawhi.
And also, this
put him
is
above
it.
Kobe yet?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
He's got to hit a few more of those, Chris.
I don't know.
This instant gratification generation. No, he's got to hit a few more.
Kobe never hit a buzzer beater in a game seven. Fact.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. That was the first
clutch
buzzer beater
ever
in a game seven in the history of basketball.
And Michael did it against Cleveland.
Michael's
that was game
five. Six?
Was game
it five?
Five. Yep. Okay. Best of five. Yep.
All right. Fine. This weekend is the 99.3 ESPN Scheman and Shepherd Golf Outing. It's Saturday, okay? It's here. We are cutting off registration Wednesday at nooner. Get her done. Today, tomorrow, a couple hours on Wednesday. That's it for you procrastinators. Of course, our golf outing is presented by Dental Designs, More Than a Smile. Also brought to you by our good friends at Lumpy's Golf at Fort Myers. And proceeds benefit our dear friends at the De La Salle Academy in Fort Myers. Shotgun start Saturday, 8:30 at Veranda's prestigious Whispering Oak Golf Course. 8:30 start, and we've got lunch. We've got polo shirts, hats, the whole deal. The swag is there, $99.30 per entry. Get your foursome together now. Again, we're cutting it off in less than 48 hours. Make it happen. We will continue to discuss some basketball.
Yes.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3. And a new coach for the Cavs on 99.3
ESPN. He left a better team.
I think he did. And the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for checking us out. We're just getting warmed up on a big Monday. Phone number 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. So I'm watching Game 7 between the 76ers and the Raptors like you did. And I don't know what it was in real time, but when Kawhi Leonard went to the corner under the pseudo double team of the two biggest guys on the 76ers, gets the shot off. The time that expired in real life from the time the ball hit the front of the rim, bounced straight into the air, and bounced three more times, four total before going in. It seemed like it lasted like 4 or 5 seconds. It could not have been that long, but I mean, time was suspended for a second there. That was incredible. That was
a lot of fun. And they broke it down analytically today on ESPN on SportsCenter this morning about. It had an 18-foot arc on it, whatever, and it needed it. It only had a 19.3% chance, I think, of going in analytically when it was launched, whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
It bounced four times. Yeah, it was about 3 seconds, right? At least that.
It was.
Seemed like an eternity before it went in. And
technically it was not a quote-unquote good shot. He dribbled right, got by Ben Simmons, very lengthy dude. And then Joel Embiid really wasn't adequate with his closeout on the double team. Maybe he was afraid to foul. Who knows? I mean, Kawhi had to put a pretty good arc on it, like you just said, to get it over him. But then that thing went in, and just the reaction, the joy of victory and the agony of defeat on both sides.
Amazing. They played seven languages this morning on SportsCenter, the final call. I mean, from China to Argentinian to Korean, French. It's just fantastic. And you just have to – it is. Nobody knew what to do, and that it seemed like an eternity. Those 3 seconds was it was bouncing on the rim. Amazing. Hey, you give the 76ers credit. They fought their tails off. You know, all the way to the end.
I was really surprised at how that team showed up in Game 7.
I
thought they were going to kind of mail it in or not show up.
I thought they would show up again. I said this on Friday only because they had a healthier Embiid. Mm-hmm. I thought, just going back to Game 2 and how dominating, I thought they can bottle some of that up. And I'll tell you what, it'll be forgotten forever. But the bucket that Jimmy Buckets made with 4 seconds to go was pretty big time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll never remember that.
No, never.
No, he tied it with a layup with four seconds to go.
Yeah.
It's the three-pointer North Carolina hit before Jenkins comes down and hits the buzzer beater for Villanova. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, nobody cares now. It's an irrelevant shot.
But Joel
Embiid, this Raptors team still hadn't shown the ability to close any, you know, to really... In crunch time, like the guts of this roster, they're the same as last year's team.
Yeah.
DeRozan for...
Right.
Yeah.
For Kawhi, obviously, and you add Gasol and all that, but I don't know, man. I was impressed by what I saw from Toronto as well.
Oh, no question. No question. That's going to be one... going to be a hell of a series with Milwaukee. And,
What I'm looking forward to is Kawhi, one of the best, if not the best, defenders in the league.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Giannis, one of, if not the best defender in the league.
Yeah.
They will be going at it on both sides of the court.
Yeah.
At least in the fourth quarter when it comes down.
Oh, absolutely.
Down to crunch time. I'm sure in different games, you know, Budenholzer will want to spell Giannis and put him on, you know, somebody else. Yeah. But in the fourth quarter of this series, it's going to be fascinating to see Giannis against Kawhi.
Yeah. Well, I think Giannis can be, if he stays out of foul trouble, that's going to be key in the series, in my opinion, too, is that. From a defensive standpoint, he's a shot changer. Is Kawhi Leonard a shot changer like Giannis is? I'm not so sure. He's a great.
He's in your jersey.
Oh, absolutely. But I think Giannis adds a little bit different dimension. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the refs call that. Because if he gets in a little bit of foul trouble, then he's got to be on the floor for 90% of these games. He has to be.
I would say that he did a good job at least yesterday shooting over Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, when you talk about guys that force you to change your shot, it's Embiid at the top of that list.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to go out and play Deion Kawhi every series, obviously. But you know, he's used to going up against a little bit of length just coming off this series.
Maybe the NBA will make one of those phone calls to the officials that will not get Giannis Antetokounmpo in foul trouble because they need a superstar in the East. I'm sorry, they do. Well, they need him to thrive and survive.
And for the most part, if I remember, for previous two rounds, I don't think he got in foul trouble in any games, did he, if I remember? He's just rested.
He usually does.
Celtics, they'd rest him, and Milwaukee would just get bigger lead when he wasn't even on the floor.
Yeah.
So.
Now, the earlier Game 7 yesterday, which the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets on the Nuggets floor, 196. Pretty ugly game offensively, although, I mean, C.J. McCollum, but he just...
What a game.
They say the mid-range jumper is gone. Well, he just kept nailing inside the arc shot after shot after shot. Well, they just flat out needed a bucket. Well, it didn't matter if he's behind the stripe or not.
The block he made at the end was just awesome. I mean, that was amazing. So...
That was great.
But so surprising. I mean, this is a game. I really thought Denver would close it out at home. Not a blowout. I don't think anybody thought any of these two games were going to be blowouts or anything. But certainly I thought the Nuggets at home were going to be able to get the job done. But you got to give Portland credit. Now you get the battle of the Currys.
Yeah. Mom and Dad are going to flip a coin to see who wears the Golden State jersey and who wears the Portland jersey.
Nuggets are up by you're up by 17 points at home.
That's the other thing.
You can't lose that game.
I know.
You cannot lose a game 7 at home when you're up by 17. You can't.
No.
It's ridiculous.
It was all series, though, where Lillard had a tough time from behind the arc. Mm-hmm. It showed itself yesterday. Yeah. Again, was it two of nine, I think?
2 of 19. Not him, but the team was 2 of 19. But the bigger thing was they missed 11 free throws. The Nuggets did.
Sure.
Huge. You cannot miss 11 free throws in a game 7.
Yeah, Lillard was 2 of 9 from behind the arc in yesterday's game, and he had a pretty good game 6 from behind the arc, right around 50%.
Nobody else here will be from behind
outside
the arc.
Outside of that, he has not been shooting the ball really well from behind the arc. That's going to have to change.
All right, let's talk about the Trailblazers for a minute as they move on and take out the Golden State Warriors. Are the Trailblazers the same as the Houston Rockets? Two dominant guards, that's your offense.
Two great backcourts.
And obviously fell short again this year for the Houston.
Portland has a big guy that can beat you if you forget about him offensively. Enes Kanter can go. He is something that Clint Capela is not. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, Enes Kanter is a liability.
One of the worst players in the league defensively.
Yes. So, you know, will they be able to manipulate that? But that's not what Golden State does, is manipulate you on the inside.
I think Golden State sweeps them. I swear to God, I think they sweep them. And I think they'll all be decent games. I don't think it's going to be blowouts. I just think they're going to sweep them. Now, Durant's not going to play the first game. Probably not going to play in the second game either. I just don't see it.
It's not often, though.
I know it's not. I'll give them 5 then. I don't see Golden State losing this series.
I mean, this is a team, though, that's shown us this year they have the ability to really just turn off. Yeah. And they were losing games by 25 points. Yeah. And I get it. It's the regular season. This is the postseason. They're engaged in all that, you know. But I like what I've seen from Portland so far this postseason.
They've been my favorite team to watch.
I think if you get one of those guards in the backcourt, they can get as hot as any guard in the game.
Yeah, there's no way I think this is a sweep.
I'm going to say I'll say Golden State in 5.
I think it's a better series than that.
I hope it is. I don't know. Something tells me. I'm not saying any blow. I just think.
I almost secretly want to see Golden State win without Durant. Like, you can't quite come back. And then they can go, hey, we won another one without you, dude.
Fantastic.
I mean, just like the previous day.
Absolutely.
No, but I've been telling you, this Denver-Portland series was like the best one to watch for me. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching the guards of Portland play. Mm-hmm. I don't watch Nikola Jokic play. That dude.
Second round pick.
He's the reason that they are. You know, had the best record in the West. He's fun to watch.
About Jimmy Butler. I mean, you talk about Jokic missing a free throw late in that game.
That was
big.
But I don't expect my big guy to be the guy up there making free throws. And he did.
No, when he's your best player.
When he's
your best player, he should be.
Yeah.
He absolutely should be.
But for a 7-game grind, I thought he showed up pretty much. He was pretty entertaining to watch.
This is going to be the series, though, for Portland where Nurkic being out. Is just
there.
This is the series where Nurkic, Golden State has nobody that could go up against him. I mean, Boogie, if he were to be, but
Boogie might even come back, they're saying.
I see him more finals than Western Conference finals, but still.
Yeah. But let's talk for a second in Free May about what would happen Friday night with the Warriors and the Rockets and Golden State winning 118-113 to close it out. Tough game. I thought they would. I thought too many people were banking on. The Rockets, it's just, what do you do if you're the Rockets? Here's what you do if you're the Rockets. You pray that KD leaves. You pray that Klay Thompson doesn't hang around. And you pray that Draymond Green, pray that he's gone too. Then it's a whole different story. Other than that, Mike D'Antoni stinks in closeout games. He's 1-7 now. I think he's lost 6 in a row, 1-8. He's either lost 6 or 7 in a row in closeout playoff games. What do you do if you're the Rockets? If Golden State loses those 3 guys, even 2 of them, different story. What do you do if you're the Rockets?
They were banking on the fact that, if we had Chris Paul last year in Game 7, we would have won. We're good. Now, we all agree they're not as good as the roster they had last year. And, look, they're a dollar short. They need another key player in there. Daryl Morey needs to get some. And I'll tell you right now.
Curry scoreless in the first half.
Daryl Morey is going to go tell everybody, we're in the running for Kevin Durant or we're in the running for Klay Thompson. He'll get neither of them.
Did you not think? I mean, when it was tied at 57 at the half, and Steph Curry had 0 points, and I thought Warriors were going to blow him out in the second half, win by 20.
Well,
by 5. And I was like, Curry, you know, he's going to heat up.
I didn't think Curry was going to be quiet the whole game. So
for Houston to only be tied at the half and not take advantage of Curry having no points, you knew they were dead meat in the second half.
Yeah,
at least I did. So there's no way they're pulling this out. Yeah, well, they did. They almost did. But.
Iguodala having the best game of the postseason for him so far.
Yeah.
But kind of not close, I don't think.
Right.
Klay kept him in it in the first half. That was Klay's half. Yeah. And then Steph picked up the slack in the second.
late in the fourth quarter.
Draymond makes Rockets his big dead. Plays like he always does mm-hmm. at the right spot. Doesn't make a ton of plays during the game, but makes the big plays in the right spots.
But Houston goes scoreless at home for about 4 minutes late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then Harden makes a three-pointer to cut the lead to 102 to 100 with 2.5 to go.
And it's got
to
be talked about. I mean, again, you get in late into the season, and James Harden had to do it this year. But I want to see James Harden have a lot more load management DNPs next year. He gets to this time of the year, and he just doesn't have the legs on that step-back three with the same consistency that he has during the regular season. So I want to, and I know you guys are going to hate it, and you're going to come in here and bitch and moan when he's not playing on the NBA on a Friday night. Who cares, Houston? You're done with regular season, Houston.
I still
prepare for the postseason.
They need another weapon. And again, maybe this comes back to D'Antoni. There are still too many times when James Harden is guarded by three players and Chris Paul or somebody else is wide open and he still shoots the ball.
Yep, I agree.
They do that too many times. There's too many possessions.
It's very Kyrie-esque in some ways.
It is.
It's selfish. I know he's a great player, obviously, but it's not working. You can't beat this team. You could beat this team, but you can't beat this team. You got to change the way you play a little bit. You have to against the Golden State Warriors as currently constituted. That could change.
Yep.
But you absolutely do. And I think D'Antoni is going to come under some fire here. Maybe not now, but I think he will. Maybe he doesn't get fired, but people can probably. Did you hear what the owner said after the game?
Oh, yeah. We'll play it in Sound Street.
Okay. Yeah.
But still, I mean, it comes down to look at the makeup of this roster. You have to have. Bring in a different coach. Does it change anything? Look at the makeup of the roster. Because you can't completely remake your roster in one offseason.
No, but
this is a roster full of three-point shooters and hybrid wing defenders.
Not good enough to win the championship. The way they're currently constructed. Not good enough.
I think we'd all agree
with
that.
Okay, then is that on the head coach or is that on Daryl Morey?
Right. It's on
Daryl Morey. But on the other hand, you just pointed out, these players have got to be more disciplined. The Rockets, like you said, for many of those reasons, if people are wide open, don't take the three. Pass it up. You've got to make some sacrifices. I hate to break the news, but it is a team sport. Sometimes you've got to make the tough sacrifices. They need to do more of that, or they're not going to win anywhere if the Golden State Warriors stay the way they are.
James Harden that needs to make the sacrifice then, because everybody else on that roster is making a sacrifice.
I agree, but that's the big if.
They need one more piece, almost an Iguodala type or something that they can count to for some points, some toughness inside, because they're missing a piece. It's very clear.
But they're missing a piece. They're missing some assists from Harden if he just passed the ball.
True.
Sometimes I think that would solve a lot of their problems. But and I know, okay, he's the second greatest player in the league or third greatest player, so you want him shooting as much as – No. Sometimes less is more. Very philosophical by my
– Good job.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we still have two new coaches with gigs in the NBA. The Lakers and the Cavs have guys to run the show. We'll discuss that. Kristaps Porzingis got his
bell rung,
rear end, his face handed to him. That was overseas. Got in an argument at a bar. We'll discuss that as well. We've got Sound Street, and we'll get into some NFL news at the top of the hour. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny, I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street is brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. They're online at optimalmale.net. We started off with Mr. Clutch, Kawhi Leonard, game-winning buzzer beater. Raptors win Game 7 over Philly, 92-92, advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's the play-by-play on TNT.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Kevin Harlan.
I love Kevin Harlan.
I do too.
One of my faves. Pretty spectacular. A lot of emotion from Kawhi Leonard, who normally doesn't show so much emotion, but he couldn't resist.
I'm a guy that acts like I've been there before. So
probably the last time you probably see me scream is like when we won. So whenever it's like a moment where I haven't really experienced, I probably try to give some emotion, show some emotion, and let it just come out. So, you know, tonight was one of those nights. I've never been in that situation before. And like you said, it's the first shot somebody hit a game winner in game seven. So I just showed emotion. And it was great. It was a great feeling. I'm just happy that we can move on to the next round.
On the other side, Joel Embiid was very tearful, much like you two watching Avengers afterward, had tears pouring out of him. Doesn't give a darn about the process.
You've been here for almost all of the process. Where would you say the process is right now? And you just played the most minutes you've ever played in regulation. Are you tired?
I don't give a damn about the process. And no, I'm not tired.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sad. Very sad.
Be interested to see if Mr. Embiid and Mr. Simmons are together next year.
I think for another year, I think they'll get rid of Coach Brown before they get rid of those two just yet. I'm not saying that will not happen in the future, but I don't think they're giving up on those two yet.
Benson, he's working on some shots. Going to be interesting. 76ers are 11-21 in closeout games, their history.
C.J. McCollum, Portland Trailblazers, had to dig out of a big deficit, down 17 in the first half, and Blazers just took it one possession at a time.
I think for us, the biggest thing was just take it one possession at a time. I think we came out a little tight defensively. Things were too easy for them. They was getting transition baskets, dunks, drop-offs. We just needed to make it a little bit more difficult. And I think as we settled in, we understood that it's a really long game. They were at home, and if we can get the game close, we felt like they would tighten up. And our biggest thing was just one stop at a time, one possession at a time. And I think as the game went on, we did a much better job of defending.
So they come back to beat Denver by four to advance. And Nikola Jokic says he feels responsible for Denver's loss.
Mm-hmm. They look at me as a leader. They look at me as their best player. So, I miss those free throws. That one free throw in the end, and I missed free throw. And probably, I feel responsible just because I think I missed a lot of shots. Yeah, I missed a lot of shots, and I supposed to make some of those. So it was physical game. It was a tough game.
I don't know if Malone was yelling at him or what. But 11 seconds left, he screwed up. He was fouled with that. He had two free throws on the two-pointer. He missed the first free throw. Should have missed the second one on purpose and didn't. He made it. It was 98-96. That was a major mess-up. I don't know if he had a brain cramp or Malone didn't reiterate it to him or what, but that was a big part, a big reason why. At least he didn't have a chance at the end.
Could have been all of the above.
Yep.
Meanwhile, back to Friday night when Houston gets closed out by the Golden State Warriors. Tillman Fertitta, their owner, who also owns every restaurant in Houston, says it hurts, but one day the Rockets will win some titles.
Hell yeah, it's more painful. You know, this was not fun. And I guarantee you, James and Chris and our team is very upset right now. They kicked our ass in our home court. They beat us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's unacceptable, okay? We just have to be better. And I know that we're going to rise to the occasion, and our time's going to come. You know, James is 30 years old. Michael didn't win his first championship till 30. Hakeem didn't win his first championship till 30. I can promise you we're going to win some championships with James Harden, okay? Because we are not going to sit here. We will go to battle every year. We're going to have a strong offseason, and we're going to do whatever we can do to be a better team, okay? We are not going to sit on our hands. I can promise you that.
Yeah, it's one thing you get outscored by 10, and it's, you know, 26-16. You gave a 36 in the fourth quarter to Golden State. 36-26. And, wow, those words are fine and nice and everything. All right. But
I think that was a shot at the bow at Daryl Morey.
Absolutely.
Daryl Morey had a very comfortable relationship with the former owner.
What about D'Antoni?
Daryl Morey had a very comfortable relationship with the former owner, Les Alexander, for years. That sounded a little tense. I think Daryl Morey better take his analytics and all that he does and get himself a third wheel.
I agree with you totally. I think it was also a little dig at D'Antoni as well.
Could be.
But he says it's embarrassing he outscored in the fourth quarter by 10. That's a clear shot at the coach.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I can't argue with that either. Mm. All right, when we come back, Michigan needs a new coach. No, Pete, not a football coach. A basketball coach.
It's only a matter of time.
You would have lost that sandwich bet.
We shall discuss Sheeman Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.